Dalad Tishrei, Thursday the 13th of September, Rabbi Moshe Levi, the deeper message of Matthew Yonah.
We'll have a whale of a time. And that's all that. I honestly don't remember what we have or have not discussed in previous years.
It's okay.
That's what I was hoping. I figured if I don't remember, you probably don't remember either. And even if you did, I know, and maybe we mentioned this in the past, always on the yard side of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, my Rebbe Mitzvah Berkowitz Shlita would talk about his Rebbe. And obviously Reb Chaim knew everything. He told us that a few months before Reb Chaim was Nifter, everybody was following along, not in Gemara Rashi or Tosfos, not like the back of the back, on the commentary, under the commentary. And everyone's following along, and he's reading it and giving pshatim. And then someone nudges the guy next to him, and he points. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was reading, everybody's reading, following along, Masechet Pesachim. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz already, he was old, it's hard for him to see. He was reading from Masechet Brachot. He knew it by heart. He didn't want to show off, so he opens up the Gemara. Everyone's following along. He knew everything. Yet, one time someone came to him and said, Rebbe, you gave the same shmooze 5 years ago. Just to prepare a shmooze I can do. But this is what the ilm needs to hear before Bein Hazman. There's certain times they need to hear certain things. Somebody one time went to Rebbe Chanan Wasserman, the student of the Chavetz Chaim, and said, Chavetz Chaim gave the same pre-Ne'ilah Drasha last year. He said, first of all, he added these 5 words. And he gave a whole shot in the extra 5 words that he said. He said, this is what you need to hear before Ne'ilah. So of course, the Chavetz Chaim could have came up with a million different shiurim, but this is what people need to hear. So I don't know what we have or have not said in the past, but I think these ideas are important to hear before Yom Kippur. I had by my Rosh Hashanah table a few years ago, a girl that was being chozer b'tshuva, Baruch Hashem, she just got engaged last week, the week before, good from boy, Baruch Hashem. And she said, I'm not understanding the whole judgment situation. I said, what's not to understand? She said, so you have the first day of Rosh Hashanah, but you get judged, right? I said, 100%. Judged. You get judged. Maybe you get drunk too. But you get judged. Din. And then you have the second day of Rosh Hashanah, where once again, you get judged. I said, yeah. She says, then you have the whole week before Yom Kippur, where you have to behave extra good. I said, yeah. She says, and then on Yom Kippur, you're getting judged again. I said, yeah. She said, and then the rabbi got up before Ne'ilah, and he said, doesn't matter what happened the whole month of Elul, doesn't matter what happened Rosh Hashanah, or the past week, doesn't matter what you did today, because now, by Ne'ilah, now is the time you're being judged. I said, yeah. She said, and apparently there's this thing at the end of Sukkot. I said, Hoshana Rabbah? She said, that's the one, that just in case you miss Rosh Hashanah day one, or day two, or Yom Kippur, or Ne'ilah, you got another chance. I said, yeah. She says, give me a break, Rabbi. Which one is it? When are you being judged? How does it work? Good question. What would you say? Every time. So I said to her, I haven't seen anyone discuss it. I think it's a great question. This is my understanding of it. I said, how old are you? 19 years old. I said, all right, you're driving. 19-year-olds tend to drive fast. You're cruising 100 miles an hour. And then suddenly, those lights go on. Your heart drops. You get pulled over. License. What are you going to do with the officer? She said, I'm going to try and schmooze him. Try and get him to, you know, take away the ticket. Try and, you know. I said, okay, great. Let's say you do a good job. And instead of writing that you were driving 100 miles an hour, he writes that you were driving 80 miles an hour. 19 years old, 80 miles an hour in a 50 zone. You got to go to court. and they scheduled a court case for the following week. I said to her, how are you going to drive over that week? I said, I'm going to drive like a little old lady. I'm going to drive really slow and perfect. I said, and then you're going to get to court and you stand in front of the judge. What are you going to say? I said, I'm going to say I'm really sorry. I learned my lesson. I'm never going to do it again. I understand the ramifications of my actions. I said, great. And you have opening statements. And then the most important are the closing arguments. So that's my understanding. Rosh Hashanah, day one, you're driving 100 miles an hour, you get pulled over. We're going through life, we're cruising. We're cruising through life. My son said to me, did the Goyim also have Rosh Hashanah? I said, of course. He said, really? I said, New Year's, fireworks and parties. He said, so the exact opposite of what we do. I said, basically. We're cruising through life, we're driving 100 miles an hour, and then suddenly you get pulled over. Day one, our rabbis tell us, Hashem is Yoshev al Kiseh Din. You're in trouble. Hashem sits on the throne of justice. Day number two, Hashem moves from Kiseh Din to Kiseh Rachamim. That's why we read about Akedat Yitzchak on the second day, not the first day. Hashem's in a better place, if you will. Your ticket got lowered from 100 miles an hour to 80, but you still got a ticket 80 miles an hour. Day two, Rosh Hashanah. Now you got a court case. You got to make sure that you behave very good over this week. This is the week we show Hashem who we are. I had a student, every year, New Year's, he goes on a skiing trip. I said to him after New Year, I said, "New Josh, how was the skiing trip?" He said, "We didn't go this year." I said, "Why not?" He said, "My parents, they're crazy. My sister's getting married in 2 weeks. I can't go skiing, because what if I fall and get hurt and it won't look good for the pictures?" I said, "That's nuts." I said, I understand where they're coming from. That's Yom Kippur. He said, "You rabbis, what? How is that Yom Kippur?" I said, Yom Kippur, Hashem knows you don't look this good all year round. But when Hashem takes that picture and He puts it up on the wall, He says, "Oh, this is my son. You want it to be at your cleanest, most peak time." It's not about the wedding and looking good at the wedding. They're going to take that picture. It's going to go up on the wall and be there for the next 30 years. So your parents want to make sure that that's going to be the perfect picture. That's now. Yom Kippur, Hashem is saying, get ready, I want to take that picture. That's the image I want of you. I know you're not always this good, but you drive extra careful. You behave extra good. You go the extra mile. So then you come to court and you have Kol Nidre and you have Shachrit and Musaf. Opening statements. I'm sorry, I'm never going to do it again. I understand, I realize. And then you have Ne'ilah, that's the closing arguments. Right before the judge bangs down the gavel. She said to me, "What's the thing at the end of Sukkot?" I said, "I don't know, Shana Rabbah, that's like the appeal. Yeah? Just in case you didn't get the best court decision, you can appeal. And if you say, Hashem, look, I slept in the Sukkah, I ate in the Sukkah, I've changed, or Shana Rabbah, I stayed up, then alright. When there's an appeal, it's very hard to change the court case, but there's new evidence, there's what to talk about. It's a process. Rosh Hashanah, you wake up. You wake up to the realization that, hey, I can't just go cruising through life. I can't continue just surviving. I can't survive, I need to thrive. And then you get to Yom Kippur. One of the highlights of Yom Kippur is Maftir Yonah. Now, if you were to ask somebody, why do we read Maftir Yonah, what would you tell me? Why do we read Maftir Yonah?
Teshuvah.
The people of Nineveh, they repented. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of stories where there's Jewish people who did Teshuvah. Why are we reading about Nineveh? And it makes Yonah look really bad. Hashem tells him what to do and he runs away. He doesn't, the Navi, not listening, the rabbi is not listening to Hashem. So, if you go through, how much does it talk about the people of Nineveh doing Teshuvah? In the third parak, a few psukim. Yeah? The whole first parak is all about how Yonah is running away. The second parak is his tefillah when he's in the whale. Third parak, he goes to Nineveh, gets into tshuva, and the whole fourth parak is the story of the kikayon. So if you're reading the story, the tshuva part is a minute element of the whole story. Why is this the story we pick? So I'd like to propose a few ideas that we can learn. There's some obvious ones. The Rav HaChovel comes to Yonah and he says, Malacha Nirdam, Kum Kral Elohecha, what are you doing sleeping? At this stage, when you read Maftar Yonah on Yom Kippur, you've been fasting for like 22, 23 hours. You're weak, you're tired. You need to hear those words. Malacha Nirdam, your life's on the line. You can't be tired. It doesn't matter if you're tired. This is crunch time. Now is the time. Kum Kral Elohecha, get up, wake up, call out to Hashem. But one of my favorite ideas on Maftir Yonah is the Vilna Gaon. The Gra gives a beautiful pshat. Kabbalistic. Says the Vilna Gaon, what's the whole story of Yonah? Vahi Yonah ben Amitai. Yonah, and he brings down different psukim. Yonah represents the Nishama. Represents the soul. Ben Amitai is the son of Emet. He's all about truth. And Hashem takes the Nishama, which doesn't want to be sent into this world, and He sends him down, and he goes through this Ira Gedola, Ira Ketana, and He puts him in this world, and He says, you have a mission. I'm putting you in this world to accomplish. And Yonah, instead of fulfilling his mission, what does he do? He goes to Tarshish. Tarshish represents the money. Vayered Yafo, he gets distracted by the beauty, by the beautiful holidays, the houses, the women, the cars. And instead of accomplishing his mission, the Neshama is doing its own thing. And at a certain stage, there's a storm. And the boat, Vahoniyai, the Chal Shaver, the boat's about to break. The boat represents the goof, the body. Someone's alive, everything's going well, they're cruising through life, and then suddenly, chas v'shalom, there's an illness. There's sarot, there's problems. And they're trying to figure out, well, why is Hashem sending this storm? Why am I having all these problems in my marriage, with my children, with my business? Why is my health deteriorating? What's going on over here? And they make a goral, they make a lottery, they make a raffle. Whose fault is it? The Yonah, it's the Neshama. The Neshama hasn't accomplished its mission. It was sent down here with the purpose, and it got caught up in what we would call regular life. Says the Gra, you know why you read Yonah at this stage? You read Yonah because you've been fasting for 23 hours. You understand, I am no longer, I'm not a goof, I'm not a body that gives into temptation. I'm not a body who's desperate to eat. That's not who I am. I'm a neshama, I'm a pure soul. Hashem sent my neshama down here with the mission. Am I accomplishing my mission? And they take the Yonah and they throw him into the ocean, he gets swallowed by the whale, and the whale represents the kever. 3 days, they say, Kabbalistically, the neshama, it doesn't realize that it's dead, it's trying to get back into the body. And the whole tefillah, it's very scary if you go through it, the whole tefillah of the second parak of Yonah in the whale is all about Gehenam. And then the third parak starts that Hashem takes the Yonah and sends it back. Hashem says, you didn't accomplish your mission the first time, I'll send you back again. Gilgulim. They say none of us here at this stage, right before the Kvitah the Mashiach, none of us are newbies. No one's really a new neshama. Everyone's been sent back. And you're supposed to stop and ask yourself, am I accomplishing my mission? Or am I just cruising through life, going 100 miles an hour? So busy, just don't have time. What were we sent down here for? What are we doing with our lives? Let's be blunt. If you're here, it means you have a flexible, very flexible schedule. You don't necessarily have to be at work at 9 o'clock. Some people are retired. Some people make their own schedule. What are you doing with your time? Obviously, you came here today. You came to learn Baruch Hashem. Most of you come every morning. But what are we doing with our schedules? What are we doing with our lives? Are we accomplishing? Or just going through the motions? Are we thinking, what can I do? There's such a need. I was in America this summer. I went to visit a friend of mine in Lakewood. regular, what we would call a regular balabas, regular guy. And a few years ago, he said to me, you know, in yeshiva, he was the top guy in the shir. In the mir, he was the best guy. He said, you know, you sit in yeshiva, whole morning seder, you'll be working on one Rashi, one Tosfos, one Ritva, you're breaking your head, then the Rebbe gives shir, and then at night you spend another 2 hours on the shir. He says, you know, you spend, and that was my sipuk and learning, that's what I really enjoyed. And then I go to work. He's in Kodol a couple of years. You go to work, and you only have a limited amount of time. So they say, go to Daf Yomi. I said, doesn't do it for me. And I know a lot of people, doesn't do it for them. You sit back, the guy reads, you follow along. Again, Chas V'Shalom, not putting down Daf Yomi. He said, but you know, I wasn't breaking my head. I was by breakfast with Rabbi Yaakov Hillel. And he said, they invited him before Rosh Hashanah. They have a shiur, a weekly shiur, anywhere from 300 to 500 people, men and ladies, every week, and they get all different, the best speakers of Eretz Israel come and give a shiur. And he said, they asked me before Rosh Hashanah to come speak. There was 1,000 people in the room. He said, I looked at them and I said to them, I don't understand you people. How do you let these organizers steal your time? 5, 10, 15, 20 years you come, and you're entertained, and you're inspired. But you're not growing. You're not breaking your head over the sugya. How do you let these organizers just let them organize? You sit back and you listen and you relax and you enjoy. And that's good, once in a while. Rabbi Farhi, my dear brother-in-law, said to me something that really stuck with me last year. He said, you can go to a shir from Moshe Levi or Shlomo Farhi for 2 or 3 years. And not necessarily know how to be a better Jew. You're inspired. Maybe you talk about midot and being a better person and growing in life. But what about the next stage? And I said to him, you're right. And this year, Be'ezat Hashem, we're launching a halakha program. I'm bringing in the Gabbai of Chacham Ovadia, Zechet Tzadik Lebracha, for right after his yard site, in about 5-6 weeks. And we're going to launch a learning halakha. What are you going to do with your life? How are you doing? Am I keeping Shabbat properly? All these practical... So my friend said to me, I couldn't just go to another Daf Yomi Shir. So he said, I have my Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. I called him up and I said, we're making a program. We need you. He said, I'm in Eretz Yisrael. You're in America. He said, I'm going to start a night kolel. Be'iyun. You'll give us mar makomos. And the whole week, you can only join the kolel if you commit to coming at least 3 nights a week, if not every single night of the week. Sunday doesn't count, apparently. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then we'll have a Skype shir. That was a few years ago. I was by his house this summer. He said to me, check it out. We're in 11 different cities, 3 different countries. And just in Lakewood, he took me to the Beis Medrash. There must have been 60, 70 guys, balabatim, breaking their heads over the sugya. And Thursday nights, there's the shir. And he showed me, they have it in Lakewood, they have it in Muncie, they have it in Cincinnati, they have it in Los Angeles. Let's say he would have got to Shamayim and they would have said, hey, where's the hundreds, literally hundreds of guys that are learning every single night? They weren't learning. Regular guys who went to Kolo, but they weren't having sipur out of learning, so they stopped. And then he started this program. He would have got to Shamayim and they would have said, hey, where's the program? I'm a balabas, I'm not a rav, I don't create programs. The neshama is sent down here with a mission. With a purpose. What is that purpose? Who am I? You read the Maftir Yonah, you're supposed to be asking yourself, am I accomplishing my mission? Did I ever stop and think, what is my mission? What are my talents? Am I utilizing them properly? Am I doing? Am I doing for the community? That's why I was sent down here. The Gemara talks about Rabbi Akiva and Turnus Rufus. Turnus Rufus says to him, if Hashem loves you, why there's so many poor people? What's Rabbi Akiva answer? In order so that people can give tzedakah. And he says, what do you mean? Tornus Rufus says, imagine the king puts somebody in jail, and then you go and you help them. Hashem made them poor. You're going to give them money? If they're a slave, they're supposed to be a slave. If they're in jail, they're supposed to be in jail. Rabbi Akiva said, no, but imagine the king, he has to punish his son, the prince. But he doesn't want him to die. So if you go and you help the prince, obviously the king's going to be happy with you. As I was reading the Gemara, saying, Im ki banim, im ki abadim, im ki banim, rachmenu ki rachem ababanim, im ki abadim, and enu chatliyot. That's what they're discussing. Rabbi Akiva says, no. We're banim atem la Hashem. So those people that are poor, why are they suffering? Because that's their mission in this life. They're going to suffer for 70, 80, 90 years. Then they get to Shamayim, and Hashem's going to say, unbelievable. You helped 50,000 people be able to give tzedakah when you went to every single shul in New York, and in Los Angeles, and in London, and in Manchester. That was your mission. Certain people, that's their mission. Every one of us is put into this world to accomplish a mission. And sometimes, every person's here to give to the community. To give to the tzibur. And some people, they're on the board of the shul and on the board of the school. And it's a thankless job. That's why it says, Kol mi she'oskim tzarcha tzibur ve'emunah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yishalem schadam. Because nobody else is going to. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sorts them out. But that's why we're here. Everyone has a mission. Everyone has a purpose. What is our purpose? What were we sent down here? I can continue, but I want to get through a few other ideas from Maftir Yonah. What are we doing here? Another important idea from Maftir Yonah is understanding that we can plan and plan and plan, and ultimately, Hashem runs the show. Yonah thinks, according to most Mefarshim, I'll run away. Why? Because all the Nevi'im, they're giving Musar and they're rebuking the Jewish people day in, day out. They're doing nothing. I'm going to go to Nineveh. They might repent. And then it's going to look very bad for the Jewish people. So he says, I'll run away. And he gets on the boat. He pays the fare in those days. How did it work? You had to wait till the boat loaded up. You'd wait by the dock 2, 3, 4 weeks till it was worth it for the captain to go. Yonah says, I'll pay. I'll take 50 rooms. Let's go. He gets on the boat, and we all know the story. Terrible storm. He says, throw me in. They throw him into the water. The storm stops. He gets swallowed by the fish. He goes to Nineveh. And the people of Nineveh repent right away. You know what some of the Farshim say? Why do the people in Nineveh repent right away? Because there were people in Nineveh that were on the boat. That's where the boat was going, to Nineveh. They got to Nineveh, and they said, you're not going to believe it. We saw the most unbelievable thing. There was this Jewish person, and there was a terrible storm. Everywhere else was perfect. We saw the hand of God. Terrible storm. We threw the guy in the water, and the storm stopped. A few days later, who comes to the city? That's the guy. He's the one. He's the one that the miracle happens. And Yonah says, I'm here. Hashem told me that you need to repent. You need to do tshuva. If Yonah wouldn't have been on the boat and those people wouldn't have seen the miracle, they never would have done tshuva. So he thinks, how am I going to get them not to do tshuva by running away? That's good for the reason that they got the tshuva. The exact opposite. You have a plan? Hashem runs the show. Hashem runs the show. Yosef HaTzadik, he says to his brothers, atem chashavtem ra'a. The whole story. The whole story. I had to go over here and Potiphar and be put in jail. And it wasn't like, it wasn't the jails we have nowadays. Vayitzuhu min habor. I went with my family to Scotland. You go to the castle and they show you the dungeons. My kids were, it's too creepy for us. And that was probably much better than what Yosef had. And he wasn't there for a month or a year. 12 years in a pit. That's all part of the process. So you thought you're going to kill me. You thought you're going to sell me as a slave. And Hashem understood that's exactly what needed to happen for there to be a Yeshua. Paro thinks, I'm going to kill every single Jewish boy. That's what caused Moshe Rabbeinu to be growing up in Paro's own palace. You plan? Rabot mahashavo belevish. Atzat Hashem itachu. You read the book of Yonah and you understand Hashem controls everything. Hashem runs the show. I'm saying vidui over and over and over and over. I'm sorry. Why am I doing all this? Because I understand that as much as I plan, I want so-and-so to get married, and if we go over here, then we'll have this type of business, and if I invest over there, then Bezat Hashem, this... We plan. But ultimately, Hashem runs the show. Another quick idea. Who was the king in Nineveh, the Medrash tells us? Paro. This is 600 years after Yetziyah Mitzrayim. 600 years. Paro comes to the city of Nineveh. 600 years have passed. Yonah shows up, says repent, and they all do tshuva. There's different opinions, but one opinion says that they ended up going back literally 40 days later. And Yonah ben Uzziel says 40 years later. But what happens? They end up going back. So they did tshuva, but what happened? They stopped their bad ways, but very shortly. You read Matthew 9, you say to yourself, it's crazy. Paro lived 600 years, so that he can die a month later? Why'd they go back to the old ways? Hashem sent them a message, he did it for a little bit. You know why? Because he didn't put in a concrete way to change. So they stopped doing it, and what happens a month later? 2 months later, you read Matthew 9, you say, Hashem, I'm sorry, I'm never going to do it again. And then what happens? A week later, a month later, an hour later, you're back to normal. Why? Because you didn't put into place a way to make sure that I'm going to change. I'm sure we've said this here in the past, but it's worth repeating. I give a shiur in Hatton Garden, and there's one guy, he comes once a month, twice a month, and he said to me, Rabbi, whenever I can come, I'll be there. I said, okay, great. One time he came 5-6 weeks in a row. So I said to him, Nigel, how's work? He said, very good. I said, busy? He said, very busy. I said, really? Because you came 5 weeks in a row. He says, it used to be, I would look at my schedule, and if Wednesday morning I was free from 1 to 1:30, I came to the shiur. If not, you know, I had work. I said, obviously. He said, now I have booked into my calendar every week, 1 to 1:30, shiur with Rabbi Levi. So I'm free. We say, I want to change, I'm sorry, chatati, aviti, pashati, ashamnu, baganu. And then you get back to life. But if you take out your schedule, you take out your calendar, and you say, no. I'm going to make sure, I want to spend more time with family, Sunday, brunch, every Sunday. That might be a few, doesn't happen, but it's in the calendar. And everyone knows, and they work their schedule around it. Tuesday night, date night, I take the wife out. Monday, Thursday night, from this time to this time, I have my shiur. If it's booked into the calendar, then it happens. But to just say it is lip service. You need to make actual change. But if you just talk, nothing's going to happen. You just clap, nothing's going to happen. I think I told you the story of the Rav who looked up Yom Kippur and he sees the guy going like this. A few minutes later again, he sees the guys going like this. So during the break, he comes over, he says, there's many different Edot and many different Minhagim. Where is this, I never saw the Tarzan, you know? He says, no, Rabbi, it's not my Minhag. I came late to Shul, I was catching up. You're just going like this, what are you doing? There's the Vidui, but you need to do something. You can't just talk the talk. And I'll be honest, we've run out of time. The main thing I wanted to discuss, we'll have to save it for next year. It's a different idea of tshuva and Yonah, but we'll have to save it. Be'ezat Hashem. We can make sure that we understand we're neshama, we're sent down here with a mission. What is that mission? What are we accomplishing? What are they going to say about us? He instituted it! My friend says, nobody knows that I'm the guy who organizes it. Even in Lakewood, in the base medrash, maybe 10 out of the 60, 70 guys know that it's me. All over the world, there's people learning, they have no idea. What's our mission? What are we going to institute for the community? What are we going to institute for the elderly? What are we going to institute for the youth that's going to change it all? What's our tafkid? And when we understand who we are, what we're all about, we understand, I'm going to plan. Hashem's the one who's going to make it successful or not. But I have to do my ishtadud. I have to understand why I'm here, who I am, what my kochot are. And I understand, Paro, he did tshuva. But when it came time, that just very easily left. He stayed alive for hundreds of years, did tshuva, and then went back to his old ways. We have to make sure if we want to change and not just be hitting ourselves, that we book into our calendar, into our schedule, I'm not just going to say I want to do this for the tzibur, I'm going to do it. And I made time every single Sunday evening from 9 to 10 o'clock, that's when I'm going to work on this project. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to... Hashem runs the show. Successful or not, that's not up to me. See, people come, especially English people with all due respect. What about this? This one's not going to be happy. That's not going to work. They try this. Who cares? Try it again. Don't worry about it. Now you start it. You make it good. Next time, we're perfect. But do it. Do something different. And it doesn't have to be rocket science. You had the chief rabbi in South Africa said, we're going to do the Shabbat project. And people are like, it's just Shabbat. What do you even mean? You're not coming up with something revolutionary, something new and exciting. And he did it. And he did it well. And you have literally millions of people. I was in someone's office last week. He said the only time I ever kept Shabbat was Shabbat UK. Why? Because someone said, let's do this. Let's make a project. Let's get people involved. Let's make it happen. Doesn't have to be something epic. We're going to get all the people to learn X on this time and this zuchus. And we're going to give them this reward. We're going to go away to this place. And again, do it. And Hashem will make it successful. You're not plans. Hashem's the one who decides how it's going to work out. Understand who you are, book in time in the calendar, and Be'ezat Hashem, be able to on Yom Kippur understand and say, Hashem, I'm not a goof, I'm a neshama, I was sent down here with a purpose, and I'm accomplishing my purpose.